trying to think of who influenced me when I was 10 years old, growing up watching afternoon television.
And now, another exciting episode in the adventures of Superman.
I guess those were the dominant media influences on my young, developing mind. When our kids were growing up, we tried to point them in some different directions. A very long road trip we took when our children were still young was made much more pleasant by our friends at Adventures in Odyssey. I remember before we headed out on the trip, we went to the Kmart or the Walmart and bought some cheap cassette players, the Walkman-style cassette players. And we gave each child a set of headphones and a six-pack of Adventures in Odyssey cassettes. That's 12 episodes. When they got done listening with their 12, then they exchanged with their sibling and had another 12 episodes to listen to. As I remember, instead of just having the kids listen to it on their headphones, we listened to some of those whole episodes as a family, and it helped the miles pass more quickly. Chuck Bolte was the original executive producer for Adventures in Odyssey and also played the character George Barkley on the program. And he looks back on his days at the very beginning of Adventures in Odyssey with a lot of fondness.
I had been involved as a contract person in the early stages of Odyssey when the whole idea was being created. Then they went ahead and launched the program in, I believe it was October of 87. And as I said, I had been involved up to that point only advising, and they had been asking me to come on board to work with Odyssey, but I really didn't at the moment feel like it. But when November rolled around, I felt like it was the right thing. I accepted the position and started in January of 88. So my role when I came on was executive producer for the broadcast division, and my primary role was to make Odyssey happen.
Now, there had been a lot of research done prior to the launch of Odyssey, and it all came back and said, this is a lousy idea, skip it, right? I mean,
well,
I remember being a station manager, getting the questionnaire saying, would you be interested in a half-hour drama for children, and going, no, this will never work.
Yeah, and you were one of thousands who said the exact same thing. And the research that really was done was that, and it came back that most stations said, some were kind because it was focused on the family inquiring, so they assumed, okay, well, if they do something, it'll be decent, and okay, so maybe we'll do it. But it was a lot of maybes or nos. And some yeses. And I think the yeses were maybe disingenuous, because they were probably at their heart thinking the same thing you, like most, were thinking, is that, you know, radio drama is not going to work for kids. However, as you may recall, during the year that of 87, from January to, I believe, through March, they'd run a 13-part series that was a precursor to Adventures in Odyssey, where we didn't introduce any of the characters, but we did use some of the actors that we ended up using. Hal Smith, who played Mr. Whitaker, was a friend and a guy I'd worked with years before. And Dr. Dobson was absolutely convinced that because the people responded so positively on the daily broadcast to the radio drama concept, that kids would pay attention, the parents would want their kids to listen, and the kids would eventually engage.
I don't know how many people know Hal Smith from his days on the Andy Griffith Show or some of the other character actor roles that he played.
Right.
But it was always fun to kind of break the news to people that Mr. Whitaker had been the town drunk on the Andy Griffith Show.
That's exactly right. And for people, and a lot of people, even younger people, are aware of the Andy Griffith Show. It is always one of those holy cow moments when you tell that to people. They go, you're kidding.
Mm-hmm.
But he played Otis the Drunk, and was just a wonderful, wonderful man. And the show had a tremendous impact on him personally and spiritually. And it was an honor knowing Hal, and his loss in 1993 when he passed away was very hard. For me personally, it was very hard, because I loved Hal like a dad, and not as if I spent all kinds of time with him, but he had just that kind of a feel to me, and I just really, really loved Hal, miss him dearly.
Were you aware, you had to be conscious of the fact that you were molding the minds of kids, and you did not have their, only at one level did you have their parents' permission, but mom and dad never knew what you might, what message you might be sending on a particular day, and you had to, that was a pretty significant trust you had to guard.
Yeah, it was. And as you're well aware, Dr. Dobson is excruciatingly aware of that and made us acutely aware of it. We measured every word, every thought. We were extremely cautious. Whenever we did an adventure that was a little bit scary, we had to be very cautious there because we wanted, how far can you go? Well, we don't want to go too far because we don't want to, you know, give kids nightmares or whatever.
And you didn't think this mortal coil pushed the line a little
bit?
Well,
it did. Mm-hmm. It's interesting you mention that. It absolutely did. There were a couple others that did too, but we looked at it and said, is the overall result, though, do we think it'll be positive? We'll hear from parents. Believe me, when we do something that was off, that was a little sideways or wasn't quite right, we heard from parents and we would make decisions accordingly. Mm. Mortal Coil is one that, though we did hear, we heard more positive from that, things of true life change because of the impact, the emotional impact it had. We had some very frightening things that took place in the imagination station. But again, the impact, the positive impact far outweighed whatever fear factors or things. Now, we did have things, as I mentioned earlier, where we did something and we got enough criticism where Dr. Dobson felt we needed to make a change. The good example of that is Officer Harley. He was kind of like a Barney Fife, a real goofball. But there was we got a number of letters of people saying we shouldn't make fun of authority figures like that. Though I didn't agree with that, still don't agree with that, because I didn't think we were over the top and it didn't permeate the whole show, we did, in fact, acquiesce and pull that character. We reinvented him as Harlow Doyle because he's a private eye, so he's not a public servant.
Right.
So he can be dumb. So we thought very long and hard about what we were writing and what we're doing, realizing that just as you said, and that said well, that parents really were in many ways entrusting their kids' hearts and minds to us, and we valued and cherished that.